receive the word of God. We're here to be hearers and doers of your word, Father. Speak to us and instruct us through your word, Father, that we can live more righteously and more pleasing to you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that your will is to bless us and to do us good all the days of our life and not harm. Father, I thank you that you desire to see your people prosper, to be the head, not the tail, to be above and not beneath. Father, I thank you that Jesus has left peace to us, Father, and we receive that peace through the word of God. I thank you, Father, that the word of God has everything we need to have peace of mind, peace of spirit, and peace of body. Father, we're asking that everyone's needs would be met today, that you'll touch every person, and it'll be unto them according to their faith. Father, I thank you that as we ask and believe that we do receive healing in our bodies, peace to our minds, Father, peace in our marriages, Father, peace in our finances. In Jesus' name, all in agreement with that prayer, say, amen. Well, we're going to take a look at an issue or a question, actually, is why read the Bible? You should read the Bible. Now, that seems very elementary, but, you know, I find out that very often some of the key problems that exist in the church, in Christianity, as it were, amongst believers, as it were, is we're missing the basics. Usually when you play golf or tennis or basketball and you come to a new team and the coach watches you and you're having a problem, you can't knock strokes off your golf game, or you're missing you're missing by just inches on a 20-foot jumper. You're having problems with a tennis stroke and you're hitting just a few inches over the line. Usually a smart coach is going to take you back to the basics. It's something fundamentally missing. I find that most of the problems in the body of Christ are not major things. Thank God they aren't, because that makes them easy to fix. They're just elemental basics. Now, why read the Bible? I believe there's a lot of people who are going to church who don't read it. Now, the Bible, we know that's important, but still, how many read? I'm not going to have a show of hands to say how many hours we read the Word this week outside of church. I'm not going to have a show of hands, but I guarantee you a lot of us would shock ourselves and say, I really didn't do that much. You stop and think, there's 168 hours a week. How many hours did we read the Bible this week? Well, no, I was busy. I had this to do. I had that to do. I had this and that and the other. And you, Pastor, you don't understand. How many hours did we read it? I'm not going to set a limit, but we don't read it as much as we think. That's why I feel the need to convince us and us to know, to convince the rest of the body of Christ, why it's important to read the Bible. So therefore, this message may not be as elementary as it seems, may not be as unnecessary. Sometimes I can say, why read the Bible? And people say, oh, I thought we were going to do something good today. I thought we were really going to get into the Word. Oh, no, we're getting into the Word. It's the basics. It's the small foxes to spoil the vine. Do you remember Jesus said that? He was trying to teach a principle to the church. He said, guys, now, they were farmers. They understood wine and raising wine. And he said, now, let's stop and think. It was common to them. We don't understand it, but them it was common. Is you have a big fox or some bigger animal will come and pick the grapes off the vine and do this and the other. They grow right back. But see, these small foxes go nibble at the vine. They aren't tall enough to reach the fruit, so I'm going to suck on the vine. But when you start chewing on the bottom of the vine near the root, you kill every grape above that. You kill the whole plant. And Jesus said it's the small foxes, it's the sins which so easily beset us, the little things that we all take for granted and know that we don't do that really cause us not to have what we believe we have. And sometimes we attempt to fix things way out here. If I just prayed in the Spirit 87 hours. Well, sometimes just come down to if you just read your Bible. You know, sometimes it's as simple as God, it seems like my life is a roller coaster. It's up one week and down the next and up a month and 2 months good and 2 weeks and all hell breaks loose. Then again, it's like your whole Christianity is a roller coaster ride. Sometimes it's as simple as how regularly do you attend church? Simple. Well, I hit and miss. Well, you go up and down. Well, I read some of the time, you go up and down. Some of the time, you get blessed. Sometimes you don't. Simple things, not major things, simple things. So it's not oversimplifying the issue to go back to the basics. Paul understood it himself of the church of Corinth. He said, you have need to be teaching, but yet, he said, you're at the point where you should be teaching, but yet you have need to be taught. He says, at this point, I should be able to give you milk. I mean, meat, but yet I have to give you milk because that's all you're yet able to handle. And it's those basics that we miss. I've seen so many churches try and get over in the deep things of the Spirit, and they overlook the basic foundations of faith. And they're way off into the higher way to praise the Lord. The higher this, the higher that, and the higher this. Even in the teaching on worship and things that Helen's going to do. You know, people, she's going to let you know that the basics is get down to the root and give God some time. Give him some time. Just plain old give the Lord some time. Worship, give him your life. You know, worship him by obeying him at church attendance. Worship him by loving your brother and sister. It's not the deep things, it's the little things. But looking at that, maybe our minds are open now. Let's see why we should read the Bible. Because if I didn't feel I read it enough, in the last month, if I hadn't read a substantial amount of time out of 168 hours a week, maybe it's because I don't know why I should read it. Maybe it's not that important to me. No, the Bible's important, but if you're not reading it, it's not important to you. We know the Bible's important. There's a lot of things important, but if you aren't taking advantage of it, it's not important to you. Let's take a look. Why read the Bible? Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy, a familiar scripture. 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 3:16, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 3:16. Are you there? Familiar scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all scripture is profitable. For doctrine, 1. For reproof, 2. For correction, 3. For instruction in righteousness, 4. All scripture is given for this purpose. Now, I want to slow down. We covered it sometime a couple of weeks ago, but I want to slow down and go through it. Now, the Bible, we should read it because it is scripture. So it would not be compromising this text to say the whole Bible is given by inspiration of God, and the whole Bible is profitable for 1 doctrine, 2 reproof, 3 correction, and 4 instruction in righteousness. Now, what's the difference? Normally, if you're like me, when I used to read the scripture, I'd read through and I just kind of say, I'd lump all 4 of those together as the scripture is given for us to do right. Do you do that? You know, you don't stop and think, what's the difference between reproof and correction? What's the difference between reproof, correction, instruction, and doctrine? What's the difference? You just kind of like, I really don't care. The general gist of the thing is to do right. Well, yeah, it means do right, but I'm not going to benefit from it, because if all scripture is given, then that must mean reproof is a part of the scripture that's given, that I need to understand what reproof is. Instruction, I need to understand. To make sure I'm doing it, I need to understand it, don't I? Don't you think you need to understand it? If they use 4 separate words to motivate me to why I should read the Bible, why I should study the scriptures, don't I need to slow down, hit the brakes, stop, back up, and figure out what it's saying to me in each 4 of those words? I read it many years, didn't care to look at it. I just knew the gist of it was. I remember the Lord said something to me once. I was praying, and he said, if you want specific revelation, you have to do specific study. If you want general revelation, keep studying general. If you want general results, keep studying general. If you want specific results, study specifically. Know specifically what he's saying. The deep things of God, as it were. The deep calleth unto the deep, it says in the Old Testament. The deep things of God are found by people who are willing to go deeper. The shallow things, shallow general revelation, which is good, but it's all going to be milk. There'll be no meat until you go behind it to stop and say all scripture. That means this word, part of all scripture, that word, and that word. So let's take a look at each one. Doctrine is an easy one. Doctrine gives you guidance and shows you the right path to walk. Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is philosophy. The doctrines of Christ are the basic things that the Bible says. If it says love thy neighbor, that is a doctrine of Christ. That is a teaching of Christ that you should love your neighbor. Doctrine is easy. Doctrine gives you guidance and shows you the right path to walk. Listen to it. Doctrine gives you guidance, the way you should go. And it shows you the right path to walk. You need doctrine before you get the other ones. You need to know what the right way is. The other ones have to do with, now you know the right way, now let's deal with how well you follow it or how well you walk it. Again, doctrine, it gives you guidance and shows you the right path to walk. Point number two is reproof. You read the Bible, number one, for doctrine, so that you can have guidance from God and you can know the way that God wants you to live and the things God wants you to do and the things God doesn't want you to do that will bring you to be blessed. That is doctrine. What does the Bible say? That's doctrine. The Bible teaches, da, da, da. That's doctrine. Now, reproof. The Word of God reproofs you. Reproof means that it shows when you're getting off the right path. It reproves you. The Word of God, the Bible, shows you the right way to go, and it also shows you when you're off the path. You remember James? James 1? Let's flip over to James 1 real quick. Now, the Bible will show you the right way to go, and it's nice enough to even show you when you're not going that way. James 1. Verse 22. Are you with me? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For it is better to be a hearer of the word. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or looking in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now, when you look in the mirror to straighten out your hair and to do whatnot, and you go in there and you look in there and you see your hair is messed up, you see your eye makeup is on wrong, you see your mustache is all messed up, and then you walk away just like you never looked in it, then it didn't benefit you, did it? That's exactly where a person is when they're going to look in the Word of God and they're going to see what the path is it says to do, but then they don't go that way. Well, what the Word of God is going to do is when you keep studying and keep reading it, it's going to show you you're not going that way. You saw that. The doctrine came and you saw your image. You saw the way you should go. You saw the picture of what you should look like. Then you look in the Word and the Word would tell you whether you look like that or it's like, you're still not like that yet. Yeah, well, I know the Word says walk in love. I learned that last Sunday. I learned that in my private Bible study. Yeah, I learned I should walk in love. Well, when you go back to the Bible the next time, it's going to say, you remember today at the office when you had that attitude towards your boss when she asked you to do something that wasn't walking in love? That's reproof. It's showing you when you're not walking in the way according to the doctrine. Reprove. The Word of God will reprove you. It means that it shows when you're getting off of that right path. Look at Proverbs 1:23. Proverbs 1:23. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible will give you doctrine and the Bible will give you reproof. I need both of them. I need to know the right way to go and I need to know when I'm not going it, because my heart is to go the right way. I have to keep reading the Word of God so I can know if the way I'm going is still that way. I leave down here at the dock and I'm headed straight out to England and I'm going a little bit northeast out that direction. And I start off northeast, but at somewhere I got to stop and check my direction. Otherwise, the wind might have blown you off course. The waves might have blown you off course and you end up somewhere down in South Africa somewhere. Like, whoa, I was supposed to be going north up here. How'd I end up down there? Because I didn't check my way. I knew the right way to go. I started off in the right way. But if I started off getting born again, getting saved, reading the Bible, but now I don't keep reading the Bible on a regular basis, then I don't know when I'm off course and I may not get to the destination called heaven I want to get to. I might end up far south of that in hell. The Bible will help you check your direction. It will reprove you to make sure you're staying on the course. It will help you make the adjustment. Oh, okay, I'm not there. So you keep going like this. And you're always adjusting and it's always bringing you back into balance so that it can get you to heaven. But suppose you just started off the right direction the day you got saved and you don't ever look at the Bible again. You're rolling the dice about whether you're going to make it at the end, because you don't know if you're off course. And I guarantee you there's a devil that's blowing some hard wind and some heavy waves to push you off. There's a lot of Christians or a lot of people who got born again who really think they're okay with God and they're way off. And they don't notice it until they either read the Bible or somebody invites them to church and they come and they hear the minister and they say, I need to repent. You know what it means? I need to get back on course. I got off course. I need to get back on course. That's what that means. The Bible would do that. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof, the Lord says. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But you have to turn at his reproof if you want him to continue making his words known. A lot of people won't be corrected stops God from giving them anything new. The illustration I use is, in God's kingdom, you can't go to the third grade until you learn the lessons of the second grade. You can't grow up in God until you master the level you're at. If you're not things you know with the revelation you have, you won't be given more revelation. If you do not accept a reproof to achieve, if you don't, I mean, you go to school and you're in grade school and the teacher says, 1 + 1 = 2. And you take your test and you put 1 + 1 = 8. And she says, well, Johnny, 1 + 1 = 2. If you take 1 and 1, that's 1, 2. Okay. Then take the test and next time you put down 6. Then you keep taking the test and putting down 8. She's gonna, if he has enough of that, she's gonna keep him in the second grade or first grade, whatever. Because see, Johnny is not receiving reproof. Johnny just doesn't want to do it. I just don't care. I just want to do what I want to. Well, the Bible's reproving people. That's why so many people don't like to read it. Because a lot of people's self-esteem is not in being right. It's in feeling they're right. And if you're wrong and you look at the Bible, it will show you you ain't that pretty. But you want to feel pretty, so the way you're going to do it is I'm just not going to look in the mirror. I'm going to feel pretty because I'm not going to look in the mirror. My self-image is going to be, that's called being self-deceived. He's like the man who looks in the mirror and walks away. That's even worse. That's the man who refuses to look in the mirror anymore. Because when I look at the Bible, it makes me feel bad. It only makes you feel bad if you don't want to do right. If you want to do right, you're happy about it. Lord, correct me. Show me where I'm wrong because I want to be right. Amongst everything else, I want to be right. I want to be pleasing to you, Father. I want to be acceptable to you. I want to live by faith. But if you don't want that, you just want to feel good about yourself, then you'll say, let me just not go to church, and I can feel that I'm righteous, and I'm going to heaven, and I can die and go to hell, but I feel like I'm going to heaven too while I'm here. But see, your feelings. We walk by faith, not by feelings. And faith is based on the Word of God. You got to get back to the Word. You have to get to the Word so the Word can get you to heaven. You have to stand on the Word so you can get your blessing. The word of God will reprove you. Look at verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. The unwise person would not receive any of the reproof of God. Look at verse 30. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. They're talking about the unwise person who suffers. They kept consistently not going to the word to get reproof. They would not respond to the reproof of God. And it's true of us today. If we won't get in the Word, if we won't read our Bible, go to a church that's based on the Bible, it's going to affect our spirituality. Because we won't be getting the reproof that all Scripture was given for. The Scripture was given to give you doctrine and then to reprove you to help you stay on course, to get you to bless, to get you financially blessed, to get you physically healed, to get your family at peace. To get you a strong self-esteem. I have good self-esteem, but it's in God. And I have to stay in His Word to remember who I am in God, because when the world tells me I can't do this and I can't do this and I'm a this and I'm a that, and they call you all kind of names, you got to go back and say, no, this is who I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have to have your self-esteem in Christ. Don't have your self-esteem and I'm just going to stay away from anybody who try and correct me, and I'm going to get mad at anybody who tries to correct me. If my husband or my wife trying to say anything wrong about me, I'm going to get all upset. I mean, anybody say anything, I'm going to run. Oh, you're hurting my feelings. You're making me feel so bad. People may be trying to help you. But if you don't take reproof because your self-esteem is based on you feeling like you're great when you could be great, you will never be great. To be great, you have to be reproved to get you to great. Let's go to point number 3. The Word of God. You should read the Bible to get doctrine, guidance for the right path to go. Read the Word of God to get reproof so it can show you when you're getting off that path. And read the Word of God to get correction. Correction, it tells you how to correct your course, which is how to get back on the right path. Now remember, one is Doctrine is the right path. Doctrine reveals to you the right path. Reproof helps you know when you're off the right path. Correction is what you need to get back on the right path. Can you see that? I'm headed from here to heaven. I didn't know that, but I heard the word of God saying I could go to heaven. It tells me the right way to go. I'm walking. The troubles of this life are pushing me off course. I'm trying to get to heaven, but it pushed me off course. Well, because I'm reading, I'm over here in fornication. I'm over here doing this, that, and the other. I'm not on the right course. I need to do something. And then I go back to the word of God and it says, come back to the Lord, do this. Okay, I'm getting correction. I'm back on course again now. That's correction. Reproof lets you know you're off. Correction gets you back on. And doctrine shows you the path. Walk this way. Go in that direction. Look at Proverbs 3:12. Let's go back to verse 11. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of what? Of his correction. Of whose correction? God will correct you on the inside by the Spirit. For the spirit of man is the account of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the mature sons of God. God is directing you by your spirit, and your spirit, to be strong and hear the voice of God, must eat. And what the spirit man eats is the word of God. As you feed and feast on the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God, your spirit gets strong and it becomes a safe guide. So that when you go the wrong way, the word that I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee comes back and you might not sin against him. And then you stay on the straight path. Boy, I tell you, I'll be going somewhere and all of a sudden, before you know it, bam, one of those sins is so easy beset you. You acted out of love towards your wife or your husband or towards somebody else. And then all of a sudden, the word of God rises up and the scripture comes and correction is there. Now, I can go and apologize and make things right, repent before God. I can just say, they deserved it and keep going. That's not receiving correction. Reproof has come. I know it's wrong. The Spirit, Holy Spirit has witnessed in my heart that, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, man, that's wrong. Then the word of God comes to correct me. Or your wife comes to correct you. Or your kids come to correct you. Or the sinner who you're trying to get saved comes to correct you. Are Christians supposed to act like that? You don't seem like a Christian. And do you get mad and upset and get your feelings hurt because they just stepped all over your hypocritical toes? Or do you say, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm witnessing to you a Christian. Will you forgive me? Because I don't mean to do that. I should not have done that. You're absolutely correct. It's not God. That was me. I fleshed out. Will you forgive me? Most folks won't do that. Won't ask a sinner for forgiveness. If you offended that sinner, then you got to ask him for forgiveness just as we offended the saint. But that takes humility. And a lot of times, the more Christians would do that, they can win those sinners. But they see the pride revealed when they correct you, when they catch you in a fault and how you respond to when they're giving you correction. It's God that they're giving you correction. God will use anybody to correct you, even a sinner. If you want correction, it'll come from anywhere. So be looking. Be expecting it. It may come through your kids saying, Mama, we learned in church not to act like that. Shut up! It's my house. Don't talk to your elders that way. Well, you just talk about naturally because I think they got you beat spiritually. Because they're being more mature than you at that time. The word of God, when you come to church, you don't always feel like you can keep doing what you was doing all week. Pastor may accidentally say something. The steps on your toes. They're trying to get the wrinkles out. And actually, it's the Spirit of God trying to correct you. Now, you can get mad and upset and say, I don't like going to church. They just tell me you're dead. And everybody seem like everybody talk about me. They messing with me. Or you can say, thank God I can get my help. Thank God I can get help in the time of need. Thank God he loves me because whom the son loves, he chastens. The son that the Lord loves, he chastens them. The daughter that God loves, he chastens. He corrects. He reproves them. Thank you, Father, for reading the word today. And I didn't even know it was in there. But that brought to light what I did wrong. And it shows me the answer on how to get back on the track. Father, I receive that. I'm going to go repent. I make a turnaround now, 180 degrees. And I'm back on path. I'm back in the doctrine of God. I'm walking according to the word again. Thank you, Jesus. That's what the Bible will do for you reading the Bible. Whether you're reading it in church and we're going through it together, or whether you're reading it at home, it will give you the path. It will let you know when you're off the path, and it will let you know how to get back on the path. Sound like somebody's trying to get you to the good place. I mean, they're doing everything they can to get you there. God says, look, I mean, I'll let you know what the path is. I'll give you a road map. I'll let you know when you get off course. I'll give you a compass, and then I'll go ahead and tell you how to get back on course to give you the direction back to it. But if you don't read your Bible, how are you going to know? How are you going to know? Let's look at point number four. It gives you God's instruction. It gives you God's instruction. Look at Psalms 32:8. Psalms 32:8. So we get ready to wind down. Psalms 32:8. I just wanted to know why you should read the Bible. I will instruct thee and teach thee. Now, this is the word of God, Psalms 32, verse 8. The Lord says to you, the Bible is God speaking to me. The Bible is God speaking to you. All scripture is given. And it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes. The Lord says, I will direct you. I can see further than you can see. I can see that if you buy that car, it's going to fall apart. Don't buy that thing. Well, you know, I really like it. It's the right color. It's the right price. Don't buy that thing. I will guide you. I will instruct you. Well, you know, go over here and get this building. No, that's not the one. But Lord, it's got everything. It's everything else. Look, Lord, everything. Nope. If he gives you something in your heart, leave it alone. You better leave it alone. And you look at one and say, that don't look so good. That's not all. This not all that. But you see potential in it. And the Lord says, that's it. God knows. And when you read the word, it will instruct you. It will show you. Now, instruction means it shows you how to stay on the right path. Instruction shows you how to stay on the right path. Why read the Bible? Because all scripture is given for four purposes. For doctrine, it shows you the right path. For reproof, the Bible shows you when you're getting off the right path. For correction, the Bible shows you how to get back on the right path. For instruction, the Bible shows you how to stay on the right path. Now, isn't that great? Boy, I tell you, just look at it again. I'm headed to heaven. I'm headed to financial blessing. I'm headed to natural prosperity. I'm headed to peace in my mind. I've started off in this journey of the Word of God. I'm running my race. I'm staying in my lane. I'm going. And all of a sudden, I start to drift off somewhere because the runner pushes me or the wind blows me off course. And God says, hey, you're off course. You need to go back in here. You need to go back in the other lane. Okay, Lord, but how do you do that? There's something in the word tells me you got to do this. Okay, I make that adjustment. I'm back on course. And then instructions start to say, okay, one step ahead. Keep one there. Don't go left. Just keep going straight. Okay, pull a little more with your right leg. Keep going. There's instruction keeping me on the path. And I'll be like, Paul, I've run my race. I've finished my course. Now let me enter into my reward. That's what the Bible would do for you. That's why you ought to read the Bible. You ought to read it so that you can know the path. Read it so that you can know when you're getting off of it. Read it so you can know how to get back on it. And read it so you can know how to stay on it. And anybody, I guarantee you, or any church that does not keep the Word of God and does not have the Word of God as preeminent in the prominent position of their service, of their church, and in their people's lives, I guarantee you're going to find folks off path who think they're going right. Find folks who don't know how to get back to God. They just out there, the Lord can never take me back. You don't understand. And folks that just can't stay on it because they're not hearing any direction from God or any guidance. Because if you don't put the word first, all scripture that's given for those four purposes, you will have a problem. That's why you ought to read the Bible. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word, Lord. We thank you for strengthening us and encouraging us, Father. We thank you that the word of God is truly a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, Father. We thank you that it illuminates the way that we should go. We thank you, Father, that our footsteps are ordered of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that we're maturing in Christ and growing up in the things of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.